love Might Delete Later.
I bloody hope you do. You can support our show by using the new Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment.
Just smash that link in the show description and support us now so we can keep making this podcast.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to series two of Might Delete Later. Yes.
Good to be here.
Great to be here. I'm Stevie Martin, a person who feels social media erases their soul.
And I'm Eugenia Martin, a person who thinks social media kind of builds it up in different ways.
Wow.
Yeah, deep. Every week in this podcast, we go through people we find interesting social media timelines and we dredge up some good juicy business. And our guest today actually came off social media, so it's a very short episode.
Yes, very short episode. No, our guest today is James Acaster. He's been on every comedy TV panel show I've ever heard of or you could name, but he also hosts Hypothetical with Josh Widdicombe. And he's written two books, Classic Scrapes and Perfect Sounds Whatever. And he also co-hosts a podcast with Ed Gamble, Off Menu, and has his own podcast, James Acaster's Perfect Sounds, where he basically tries to convince everybody that 2016 was the best year for music. Is it? Listen.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. Yeah, he seems to like never stop working. And he came off Twitter in 2018, and that's what we're going to dig into today. Why he came off it, did he miss it? The conversation for me was genuinely, like, so fascinating.
Yeah, I found it really interesting because you kind of want to know what it feels like when someone comes off. And when he talks about it, the fact that there were so many things that went into that decision.
Go to @MightDeleteLaterPod on Instagram to not see James's posts, but for some great quotes from the episode. And also maybe like a blurry screenshot picture because we recorded this remotely.
So before we get to our excellent guest, our new feature that we're doing for this series is basically us at the beginning asking each other what's in each other's drafts. Like,
oh my
it's
gosh.
A really clever, unclunky way of basically saying, what's happening in your social media mind and land at the moment? Gina, what is going on with you?
Okay, so this week, I've had lots of saved things about lifestyle. So I'm like, you know, I talk a lot about politically, a lot about stuff, but it's like, I kind of want to just be able to share like the things I'm doing. Like, here's this lovely face oil. Look at my love. Because I just feel like it's another thing to add to the thing of like, I guess I should also share what I'm doing. And also like that then puts pressure on, you know, it's like self-care. So I don't really want to share the self-care because that's the thing that I switch off from the political stuff with.
Understood.
But it's almost like this small pipe dream of like, imagine if I didn't talk about subjects that only ever invite people to come into my inbox to be like, you're wrong. And instead was like, look at this lovely vitamin C cream.
But then someone would go, sorry, you're wrong. That's a shit vitamin C cream. You'd be like, oh my God, it's vitamin C cream. Let go.
Absolutely right. So I've had this small pipe dream doing more lifestyle stuff. And I did like one night where I did like a little routine and it felt very nice. And then I thought, well, that was good. But I think I'm just going to have to carry on being myself. So yes, I'll never be an influencer in that sense, but I'm kind of okay with that. But I do have a hankering sometimes to just do things that simple.
Well, you could do, because I don't do like lifestyle-y stuff ever, but what I do is like, I actually don't know what I do on there, if I'm honest. It's not all other people's posts and stuff. So I'll be like, I've got a lipstick, here's my face. And it'll be like a stupid face. Like, I don't
it's
know.
It's just life stuff more than like lifestyle.
Yeah, there's a balance. And if you feel odd being like, so in the morning, I get up and I wash my face with rosehip oil, like so.
And it would be so like, odd because I don't. That's the thing.
Yeah, lying as well, just lying. So that you put the lie in lifestyle.
Oh my God, very good. That's the thing. I could never be that because I don't have a morning skincare routine. I don't have an evening skincare routine. I eat hummus with my fingers. I don't get dressed. So it's like, maybe I'll just show that.
Yeah, also, I don't think you shouldn't worry about because you do. It's very hard. Everyone must think about what they're putting out, and that's the hard part. But you do a lot, and you also do show yourself chatting about those issues that you're talking about. So we still see Gina like in her flat, but you are always like making food, or you're always in your pajamas, but it's unclear that they're your pajamas. I only know because it's that big old blue tie-dye shirt, and it looks like it could be a normal shirt, but I know you slept in it.
Baby girl, that is a shirt dress, but I do sleep in it.
Got it.
Okay, well, tell me what is in your drafts, because it made me feel better about my weird lifestyle stuff.
Ask me. Okay, so mine's very like true to form. At the moment, I'm really struggling to tweet.
No.
Yes, because nothing I can think of is interesting and funny, and I don't have any like hot takes and things. It's just like there's a lot of news, and the news is quite harrowing, and I don't. I just like to read that rather than then be like, here's my thoughts. But I like reading other people's thoughts. And I've basically just been going on Twitter and I'd be like, oh God, everyone's knocking it out of the park with this stuff. Like they're all, so many people are thinking of funny things all the time. And I think
yes,
maybe
I feel that on Twitter.
Yeah. Like how are you tweeting four times a day and all of it is funny? It doesn't, I'm not saying all of it like is going viral. It's not even that. It's just like, that's a fun thought.
Also, of course you feel like that when you're watching 4,000 people and more, because it's not just who you follow, and you're seeing all of their funniest shit that went viral. Like, of course you feel like that.
But how to go through it? Like, I tweeted something about my shoe or something the other day, and then left it on for 2 minutes, and it got one like, so I deleted it. I've done that about 17 times. So then I also have had that before, and I've tried tweeting things like, I've got nothing to tweet, but I'm just having a nice time reading your things. And then I just feel like, what was the point of saying that? So also what's very weird is that I shouldn't be worried about not being able to tweet. I should just be like, oh, I haven't had a thought this week. That's cool. Rather than being like, oh, the algorithm is going to put like...
Yeah, fuck the algorithm. You can't, like we said in the previous episode, you actually can't keep up with it because there's too many things changing all the time. And like, I feel like that sometimes. Like I don't feed post a lot on Instagram. Really. And I might not feed post for a week, and it's like I feel like I went to, oh my god, one of the Instagram business evening said you went to post four times a day on your feed. Four times a day. No, but step back. Like if you feel that pressure to be like producing content, I just think do the opposite, because you'll always just feel like what you're putting out isn't good enough because you're forcing yourself to do it.
Yeah, wait until you've got a good thought.
Yeah, and that's fine because no one has a good thought every day.
No, I know.
Well, it was good to see what was in your drafts, and the takeout is that you shouldn't feel pressured to post all the time, and I shouldn't feel pressured to post lifestyle-y stuff because I just want to be more simple. Yeah.
Okay.
Good job.
Enjoy the app, dudes.
Have fun.
James Acaster, what would you like to delete this week if you were able to delete something?
During lockdown, I have had a lot of kind of flashbacks to every single social interaction I've ever had in my life, because I haven't had any social interactions properly for months. And I don't think I can think of a single positive memory of a time I have interacted with another human being, apart from my girlfriend. So I would like to delete every single social interaction I have ever had before lockdown happened, please. Because none of them have brought me any joy remembering them. I'm not going, oh yeah, that was nice. But like, oh, I can't believe you said that. Oh, those people must think you're a dickhead. So just I can't delete every time I've interacted with another human being.
Yeah, you can do that.
You know what? That's so great.
I think that's the strongest one we've had, actually, to be fair.
Yeah, normally it's like, sandwiches?
I said toasters, I think, once.
That's quite deep and emotional. Gina, what's yours?
Mine is my next-door neighbour, who can probably hear me, and this is sort of a subtweet, but from my own bedroom, in case he hears it. My next-door neighbour, who is deaf and plays hardcore violent porn every night and day and has done for 3 years, and I've had to shout at him, and he came out with it holding a belt, and I was like, what was the belt for? So I would delete him. A whole human being.
I can back that up, because I lived in the bedroom of Gina's flat. I lived with Gina, is what I'm trying to say. Gina doesn't own the flat.
We were co-renters.
And I used to hit the porn. Mm-hmm. And I could not believe it was the man who lived, because he just... I mean, what things say? He doesn't look like the sort of man who would have violent porn and come out with a belt.
No, but he does, though, doesn't he? He looks exactly... He looks like Mr. McGregor from Peter Rabbit, but, like, the evil twin. And he obviously looks like the guy who listens to porn all day. It's really upsetting.
How many episodes of this have you done?
We've recorded 8.
I can only imagine what your first 7 things you wanted to delete were, if that's number 8 that you got to.
Well, they were actually all boring, and I think I didn't have the confidence to really say what I wanted to delete. I was just going for, like, shit sausages and stuff, but now I'm really feeling it. So, Stephen, what would you like to delete this week?
I would like to delete onions, not in food, so very specific, because I saw the thing where you're supposed to grow an onion. There's lots of different types of ways. Basically, there was an onion in the cupboard and it grew a shoot, and it was like, that's fun. I'll put that in a plant pot. That's not how you're supposed to grow an onion. So I've then been watering it every day, and then I've discovered that it hasn't grown because I needed to have... Basically, I've got a very wet onion in some soil, and I've had it in there for 4 weeks, and it's starting to smell horrible. And I was just in my head, I was going to be somebody that would recycle onions. But I'm not.
I think we all had that sort of dream at the beginning of lockdown that you're going to become somebody who, like, lived off the land and, like, just lived a different way. And then we all put, like, old food in wet buckets, and now no one has anything to show for it.
James, you came off social media. I was going to say, you famously came off social media. I mean, sure, kind of was.
Maybe.
In a way.
Don't forget I've been talked about it.
Some people, all they did. So before we talk about that, I wanted to ask you what your relationship with Twitter was like when you were on it.
I stayed off of it as long as I could because I didn't want to be on it. I was already on Facebook and didn't like how much I checked it. And I didn't want to have another thing that I was checking all the time. And I had my first ever TV appearance coming up, and my agent at the time said it would really, really help if you were on social media. You've got to be on Twitter so that people can know where to find you afterwards and you can get a following and blah, blah, blah. So I started it because of that, and I don't think I ever liked it.
And so it was like a professional thing more than anything else?
Yeah, I wouldn't have been on there otherwise, I don't think. And I do think there are positives to it as an idea and as a thing, but in just for me personally being on there, I hated just constantly checking it. And it's really hard to describe what it does to, I'm going to say my head, because I don't want to speak on behalf of everybody, because I know some people like it and find it very good. But, like, I just find, my brain is just getting deader and deader the more that I check on it, because I'm not really doing anything on there. It's so weird. Being on your phone is so different to being on your computer.
Yeah, it's a good screen, bad screen, isn't
why?
It?
And it just never made me feel that good. Even when there were little moments that were good and that I enjoyed, few and far between. But most of the time, even when it was like people saying nice stuff, because you, as a comic, you check it after gigs, you check it after a TV appearance or whatever. And, you know, famously people say, you know, you'll have 95% of people saying it was good, 5% saying it was bad, and you focus on the bad lot. And I actually didn't really do that. I would just read it all, and the bad comments would sometimes bother me, but I actually had a break off of it one Edinburgh and then had to decide to go back onto Twitter. And when I decided to go back onto it, I stopped caring about the negative tweets and didn't care about
that's
any of them.
That's good, because that's actually quite hard. People struggle with that.
Yeah, I always try and come off it, and then within a week I'm over Edinburgh, and within a week I'm on it, because I just can't. For good, for nice reasons as well. Like, I want to see, if I'm feeling shit, I want to see that people liked my show. Like, I want to see that people are like, oh, yes, that was a valid thing to have done on a stage sometimes.
Yes.
And it's hard to have that self-belief. But when you came on it for professional reasons, but you used to tweet funny things. So did you find yourself getting, like, drawn in? Would that be a good tweet? And then, like, having drafts and being like, ew, what should I tweet? Or were you quite chilled out about it?
Yeah, I didn't have drafts or anything, but I guess part of it professionally being on there is being funny. You think, if I'm going to be on Twitter as a comic, I can't just be tweeting constantly, watch me on this, buy this that I've done, you know, download this. It has to be that I'm being a comedian on there, and there's some reason for people to be following me. So I wouldn't spend too much time thinking about the tweet. In some ways, it was good writing practice because, you know, you had to make it concise and you had to make it clear what the joke was, especially because, like, you know, if you do word it badly, I mean, for one, best case scenario, if you word it badly, people don't understand the joke and just going, I don't think that makes sense. And then you've got to deal with all those people. Or worst case scenario, you word it badly and everyone's like, you're cancelled. So it's quite good for that, going, like, writing better and thinking about how to convey stuff.
But you could do that in other ways, that's the thing. Like, you could also
do that in your spare time.
Before you came off it, did you do what a lot of people do, where they kind of, like, try different things? So they'll delete it for a bit, or they'll, like, I don't know, put their phone in another room and all that stuff. Did you do that, or did you just go from, like, I'm on it, I'm using it, to, nah, I can't bother with this shit anymore?
I actually at the minute, I've only deactivated the thing because I did it on my phone. And I think you can only deactivate it on your phone. You have to delete it on a computer.
But you haven't taken that big step then. You haven't
And I'll tell you why. It's because I can't be bothered to go back on the website again. I don't want to go on there. I don't want to put Twitter into my computer and have to enter into it again. But I guess I will at some point have to do that because at some point this year, otherwise, the account is going to activate itself again. So I need to go
on and
do that. Yeah. I've deactivated it for a year. That was the maximum amount of time I could have done. And it said you have to delete it on your actual computer. But
oh, God.
I tried to, give it up before or, wean myself off of it without deleting my profile. And all that means is that you delete the app on your phone and then you check it on Safari. And
yeah,
so
Stevie does that.
You just do that all the time.
All right. Yeah, I do.
As soon as I actually deactivated it and didn't have an account anymore, it was amazing. Just, as soon as it's gone, it's gone. And I didn't feel any, I want to go back on and see what's going on. I just felt a weight off my shoulders. I felt way more relaxed for not being on there. Actually, weirdly, so during lockdown, I started, but I didn't search my own name. It was a new podcast that I've got out. And people were saying, oh, the tweets about it are really nice and all this. I was like, oh, I'll look at that. And then just the act of looking at it, even though there was nothing that was negative or horrible, made me feel gross. So I was like, I don't like being
so interesting,
that
isn't it?
That is interesting. I remember when I graduated, I did an MA in journalism and I graduated and I had no job for 18 months after it. And people were just posting statuses whenever they got jobs, being like, just a bit of personal news. Look who's finally a staff writer at Women's Butt magazine. And it was like, oh, okay. And I remember really feeling very strongly, even though I was young and hadn't sorted my head out with social media. I think that's why, that's actually the kernel of why I hate it so much. I was like, oh, you're literally doing that just to show off? And it made me feel so shit about myself. That I was like, so I've never once done that. I've never once gone whenever I've got a job, I'm very careful to not do a big thing. Because I know it makes people feel terrible. But at the same time, I know a lot of people do use it. And there's a whole, for that reason, and there's that whole it's okay to love yourself and be really confident, especially for women as well. And it's yeah, it's a fine line though, isn't it? Between being loving yourself and
it's
being
a fine line between
it.
But I do agree that when people say about you've got to love yourself and stuff like that, that is important as well. So there's a fine line because you don't want to be one of those people who's constantly going, no, I'm pretty shit actually. And you're just constantly saying that and starting to believe it as well and just playing yourself down. So there is, I mean, with all this stuff, there's a fine old line. And what is nice is just not being anywhere near the line and being off of the fucking app.
I was going to say, like you say before, it's like, you don't know, you can't even explain why it makes you feel gross. But even just talking about the fine line, I'm covered in sweat and I hate myself. And I haven't done anything. Why did you come off Twitter? Was there a moment?
There was a moment, but I don't know if that was the reason I didn't like Twitter. So, the moment was, it was just me having an extreme, very, just feeling very anxious about something. So the podcast Do Off Menu, we had supported the pod strike, which was the Greta Thunberg, climate strike stuff. And it was podcasts supporting the climate strike. And we had supported that and posted about it on social media. But we couldn't attend it ourselves because we were already going to a wedding of a friend of ours. The wedding was in Italy. So on the day of the strike, we had to fly to another country.
Yeah.
So in that moment, I was like, well, this is I don't want to not support this thing because I obviously want to support it. And I can't text my mate and go, not going to come to your wedding anymore because I'll look like a hypocrite. So forget it. And then and you think to yourself, well, most people who read this are going to have flown at some point.
Yeah.
And most people who support climate change, you have flown. So you shouldn't feel bad about that. But also me and three friends who had all gone to this wedding a couple of years beforehand, we'd been involved in something that blew up a little bit on social media when we had gone abroad and we had got stranded in New York. And so this is the first time we were going to be on a plane together again since then. And one of them was like, let's take a photo of us before we get on the plane. Took a photo and we were all looking worried. I didn't think that was going on social media. It did. And then I think only one person was like, excuse me, this and this, what the fuck's this? And you're like, oh yeah, I've got a platform now, so it's different and all that. And I started freaking out so much about I just can't do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
That I was just like, it took a while of me thinking about it. And then eventually I was like, I'm just getting off of it. It was the reason at the time that I deleted it, But looking
but
back,
it was like the straw that broke the camel's back. It was like culminative. Yeah.
But looking back, it's not what I didn't like about social media. Right. So I don't look back and go, that was the thing that annoyed me all the time and that I hated. It wasn't. What I hated was constantly being on it, constantly checking it, needing people to tell me I was good. I didn't like any of that, and that made me feel gross.
So you can go on it and you can feel so bad about humanity so quickly, because just for some context, James, I do love it, but I also like just gobble content that is like, which is a weird, that's
I've
a weird
I've never heard you say the word gobble before in my entire life.
Just gobble content that's just like, this guy made a roller coaster for his tortoise. And I'm like, oh, people are good. But it takes me like 2 hours of the tortoise content to get away from like the two alt-right comments. Like, and it's exhausting.
You talk quite a lot about mental health and have been quite open about mental health in a sense in your shows and stuff.
I would say that for me, it's not good for my mental health. And it's just because, I just don't feel like I'm engaging with the real world a lot of the time when I'm on there. If I'm feeling bad anyway, going on there wouldn't make me feel good for a whole bunch of reasons. So, I wouldn't ever, like, recommend it to anyone who's feeling down.
Yeah,
you know, if they were like struggling, I wouldn't be like, you could go on there. And, appreciate for some people. For some people, it's like this thing of like, oh, I can interact with people and I can't do that in my normal life and things like that. So I can only speak for myself personally, but like, I just don't. It's been really interesting during lockdown, not seeing anybody and not being on social media.
Oh, yeah.
And not a single part of me is I miss it. I want to go back on there. I just haven't. And even though there's been loads of important stuff being talked about on social media, but I can still read about that and watch videos about it on YouTube. And if someone said to me, do you want to get rid of all social media forever and it never existed, I would say no, because I think there are too many positive movements that have really benefited from social media. You just don't know how long it would have taken for something like the Me Too movement or Black Lives Matter to get to where they are now without that. So you can't like get rid of those things.
But you're right in saying that you can go and find that stuff yourself and curate that stuff around you. Like, I think a lot of the time
that's
people
say
in social media you can get in a bit of an echo chamber. A lot of people are like knowing it. You have to go out and try and find that stuff, and you can still do that without being on social. It's just not served to you every day. We had that little thing we did for a while where Stevie has a similar thing where like she gets really overwhelmed with all this stuff that's happening and the amount of information, and me and Stevie are like best friends or sisters. And when she was having a really difficult time like that, I was always on social and I would find things, and then I would like be her like curator of stuff, like, oh, you should look at this, oh, this is it. So she wasn't on it, but she'd get like a few hand-picked things that I thought would be interesting for her to read and that she could handle at that point, and you would read them and be like, oh, they're amazing. But it was just the overload of stuff at the time was so bad for your head.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You don't have a first post, James, so that's fine. That just deals with that very quickly.
Don't know what that
section
is.
That whole section's gone. Great. Next.
Your worst one you've brought is a Facebook one. It has a special place in my heart because I've also done it.
It's so bad, and I think like maybe once a year Nish Kumar brings this up because it was like the highlight of his stupid life. When I did my first TV bit appearance or whatever, I was just my own name on Facebook, and loads of people who had seen it requested me on Facebook, who I didn't know. And I was so giddy about I've suddenly got fans that I just accepted every single request. So
that's really nice, though. It's pure, yeah, nice, but not great. It's
ridiculous. So I just said, yeah. I accepted all of them.
Oh my God.
And then I had a thing where I approved someone's friend request and they had DM'd me, which wasn't even called that, but whatever, private messaged me saying something. I can't remember what it was, but it was too, like, I didn't know them and it was too much. It was like they crossed a bit of a kind of line that I wasn't very comfortable with. So I ignored the message, and then they messaged again being like, what is your problem? I've just sent you this message. And then a third one. And I was thinking, oh, I need to not have this as a problem. So I was like, I'll do a cull and I'll get rid of everyone who I don't know. That's all I'll do. So it's just a tip for everybody out there. If you are going to do a cull, just do it and don't tell anyone you're doing it. You don't need to announce it. You don't owe the people who you've never met before an explanation. You can just leave it. So nowadays, I would never do this because I wouldn't think I owe people that I've never met, fans, for want of a better word, anything. I'd be like, all I owe them is my comedy. They've got that. I do not owe them anything else. I do not owe them an explanation for defriending them on Facebook. However, at the time, I thought I don't want to upset them all, so I better do that. But also, I'm Facebook friends with everyone that I actually know. And everybody is going to see this post. So I did a whole post of like, over the years, I've been a bit too liberal with how many friend requests I've been accepting. Tomorrow, I'm going to do a cull. Everyone I don't know.
Ahead of time as well. Great.
Oh, something like that. Defriend you. You can like my fan page and get updates about me on that. All the best. And then obviously just cue every single comic that I know commenting underneath it being like, oh, James, are you going to defend me or do I have to like your fan page?
Oh, no.
And all this, I'm like, oh, God, they've absolutely got me here. I'm red rag to a bull and I can't believe I did this. And all of them just having what? Joe, I was envious of how much of a good time they were having. So, oh, man, if this was someone else, I'll be right in here. I'll be doing exactly what they were doing. But the worst part of it was, is that I was defriending people. And one of the people I defriended was my friend's wife. they're married now. At the time, they were boyfriend, girlfriend. But, like, basically, I only knew her at the time by her first name. And I knew her as a shortened version of that first name, not her full first name. And so when I was just going through, and this cull was big, there was a lot of, I'd accepted every friend request I'd ever got.
Oh my God.
So I was having to do loads. I wasn't clicking on everyone's profile and looking at who they were. I was like, don't know that name.
It wasn't an accidental click. You clicked her name and be like, nope.
Yep, nope. Because like it was a name I'd never seen before. It was her full first name and her surname, at which point I was not familiar with either. Defriended her. And then, obviously, I'm making excuses for it, but it's no excuse. I should have known her name. I've met her. So, you know, it's not an excuse. Obviously, that came back to haunt me because I think she was talking to one of her mates. It's about comedy. And she was like, have you heard of James Agnes? And they're like, no. And she's like, you will have. Hold on, I'll get him. He's my Facebook friend. And then, not on there.
No.
Obviously felt awful. And she is such a nice person, but I wouldn't blame her if every time she sees me, a part of her thinks, you're a dick.
Wait, have you not refriended her?
Yeah, I did, and then I deleted my Facebook account.
Oh, shit.
Well, I hope she knows that.
She now thinks you've, like, fully blocked her. Because when you block someone on Facebook, it's like you don't exist.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Steve, you did the same thing.
Well, I didn't do the same thing for the same reasons, but I basically just got fed up. I was drunk on Christmas Day, and I was bored on Christmas Day, and I just decided to, I didn't announce it, I just did a stealth cull, and then it was, like, half of my Facebook friends, and I realised that I'd culled the person I was supposed to be moving in with that in January. So, and I was lodging in her house and doing her a great favour. And then when she tried to message me to be like, you're moving in, then she was like, right, well, you've also defriended me. And I had to be like, drunk, must have. And it was just so stupid. Have you done it, Gina?
I hate that. Yeah, I did it with a campaign when I was doing the campaign, and I did like a political campaign, and I got loads of like, I just got like a lot of abuse from guys, and I changed my name because I was getting so many abusive messages and, you know, rape threats and shit like that. And then I was like, every time there was a post, because I was posting about trying to change law, and then like all these debates would happen underneath it, where it'd be like people who didn't know me in school who like bullied me and were shit would be like, oh my god, so proud of my gal, I totally believe like women's rights. And I was like, oh my god, you literally hated me, like we haven't spoke for 10 years. And it started to get in my head, like, this is really annoying, I'm trying to do this work. And like every time I go on Facebook, people are like, Gina, what do you think about like when people catcall? It's not a compliment. I was like, I don't want to talk about it. So I just deleted loads of people that I haven't seen in 10 years, like, you know, people you collected when you're 15 on Facebook or whatever. And then about 2 days ago, I just got like loads of friend requests back. So they'd seen it and then gone, no, can I? No, can we be friends? And I was like, well, now I feel like I have to, but I deleted you for a reason.
Did you just accept everyone?
I just left them. Best post is next.
Right.
I have no context for this, but apparently it involves the hashtags WangBangerCar and Jada Banger Mash. And I'm assuming the first one's something to do with Phil?
Yeah, Phil Wang. This is not only the thing I enjoyed most when I was on Twitter, but this is why I can't fully write Twitter off either. It's probably one of the high points of my life. So it requires a lot of explanation. But Phil Wang, the comedian Phil Wang, had done a tweet. I can't now remember what the original tweet was. Part of the tweet, it was something about the Batmobile, and there was like a sexual innuendo in there or something. I think maybe myself, maybe Steve McNeil, I'm not sure exactly who, replied to it saying, are you saying that you want to bang a car? And then it's one of those things where one thing I really like, and this is going to make me sound like a complete hypocrite, but I think it's very different. When you all know each other, it's very different. I like collective friendly bullying on social media. So when it is, like when everyone did it to me with my Facebook status, I was like, fair enough. Really wish I was a part of this and not on the receiving end of it, but it is great. So a bunch of us jumped on Phil Wang, teasing Phil and calling him a sicko for wanting to bang cars and using the hashtag WangBangerCar and insisting that every time people tweeted about it, they had to use the hashtag, including Phil, which he did. So
Hang on a minute. When I was researching this, one of the tweets I saw was Phil lying down, like topless, and then it zoomed in on his face, and then it got to his pupils, and he had like a mini or something right in his pupil. This makes so much sense.
Yep,
it was like photoshopped images of him, like getting, now what I realise, getting horny for cars.
Yes.
But I didn't realise that at the time.
Because obviously all your tweets are not there, so all we're seeing.
No, so there's no context.
Right, great. I mean, I can't remember exactly what I tweeted. This isn't why it was the best thing, because that day was fun. Sure, and we did it for a while. Then, I think a year later, Nathaniel Metcalf got a notification like, hey, remember what happened on Twitter last year or whatever? It was like the WangBangerCar thing. So he tweeted us all again saying, Twitter's just alerted me that it's exactly a year since hashtag WangBangerCar. And then it all kicked off again. And then it just happened every year. And every year,
shit,
we would do WangBangerCar again at him, and he would have to deal with the fact, and people were finding videos of men kissing cars and all sorts of stuff. Loads of fun. But that was not the best day on Twitter. The best day on Twitter was when Jade Adams bought a potato masher. And she got an email from the people she bought the potato masher from, whatever company it was, John
Jade
Lewis,
Adams,
I think,
is a comedian. Saying, follow her. She's great.
Jade
Adams,
anyone
doesn't know.
Also a fantastic comic. And she'd get emails every day from John Lewis saying, hey Jade, just wondering how that mash is working out for you. And she'd done a tweet being like,
what?
I'm bloody sick of this. Every day they're sending me emails asking me to rate the masher out of 5 stars and how happy am I with the masher. I haven't even used this masher yet. I'm absolutely sick of it. And then obviously I replied to it immediately going, so how's the masher working out? And then Steve McNeil replied, going, so seriously, the masher, any good? And it was like, oh, the old crew's getting back together and we've got a new target. And then that went on like all day. And she went, when do you guys actually drop this sort of stuff? How long does it usually go on for? And someone said, pretty long, ask at Phil Wang. And then we started using the hashtag Jade Banger Mash. And it is my favourite hashtag ever. I laughed so much the first... I'm going to say it. It's the best tweet I've ever done because I was the one who came up with Jade Banger Mash. I was the one who incorporated it. And it's the most I've ever laughed at anything that I have done myself. I was so pleased with it because it's the stupidest thing ever.
It's so stupid. did. I love it.
There was nothing sexual about Jade and the Masher. It was just that we've now brought in Phil Wang again, and so it was Jade
and he's like,
the Masher.
For goodness sake, it's still going on.
And then Jade really amped up, being furious at us, but also using the hashtag JadeBangerMash every single time. Witch.com got involved. So Witch.com were asking about the Masher, but also using the hashtag JadeBangerMash.
No! Oh my god, this is so good!
And it went on for a long time. Ed Gamble turned up at a gig with Jade wearing a JadeBangerMash t-shirt, which he had made. For having sent to himself with the hashtag Jade Banger Basher. I ended up actually going to Jade's house and having a roast dinner and having her use the masher for the roast dinner.
No!
And that was a very nice meal. It was brilliant. I laughed. The first day that we did Jade Banger Mash, it lasted all day, and I laughed out loud at every single tweet that everyone did, and I was giddy with how
there's
happy
so
I was.
So much joy that from that. That's what it's good for, is like this silly, like stupid, fun stuff that you do between friends. Like, that's so much fun.
I mean, it happened once in the decade I was on there, but
good point.
I've had more laughs with my actual friends in the real world during that time. But
so true.
That was a lot of fun.
I feel like this episode's given me a lot of food for thought. Just so you know. I genuinely do, because all the other ones are like, and this one's like, made me go, you're probably right.
I'm used to doing podcasts that are thoughts about food.
Yes! Thank you so much, James. That was really
great.
Thank
you, James, for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Follow James nowhere, but you can follow James A. Castor, an account which was created because on Russell Howard's Good News, they misspelt your name, correct?
Yep.
Who runs the account, do you know?
Yes, but I'm not allowed to say publicly. People think it's me, which is so mad. People are like, oh, it's him doing it. What?
Follow us at MindDeleteLaterPod on Instagram and MindDeletePod on Twitter, and email us any guests you think we should have, and also any of your like old, weird, embarrassing tweets or Instagrams. You can email us at MindDeleteLaterPod@gmail.com. And look, subscribe, give us a lovely review. That would be nice. And remember, social media is meant to be fun.
Or a billionaire industry that's sucking out your brains.
Yes, but however you feel about it, if it starts making you feel bad, you can always just delete everything later.
Delete your whole account.
James.
Thanks, James. Bye.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.